Thanks, Paul. Thanks, everyone. I'm going to just spend about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just with a shorter preach this morning, just to take us to how we're going to achieve that vision. So let's pray, and then we'll get into it. Our Father, we praise you for your word. We praise you that you are living and active, that you are at work amongst us. And we pray, Lord, that you would do your work in us and through us this morning. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's January 24th, 2021, and the Pierce family are sitting in a church they've never visited, living in a house they've never visited, in a city they've never visited, in a state they've never visited, about to start serving and leading a church they've never visited. I remember coming to St. Nick's on that first morning and with people looking at us like we are exhibits in a museum or animals in a zoo. And people were saying to us, you do know what you've signed up for. You do know that this church is a bit different from your previous church. And it was. We've come from Melbourne, having led one of the big Anglican churches in Melbourne that met in the middle of the city, that met in a cinema. There was a rock band. The Bible was read on the cinema screen, narrated on the cinema screen. And of the 1,000 people that gathered there on a Sunday, there was one retired person. There's one retired person, although after a while we found out that he wasn't actually retired. He just ran an IT business from home, and people thought he was retired. The smartest I got on a Sunday was wearing a lumberjack shirt. So to say it was a bit different, this church is a bit different, is an understatement. And coming to Rockingham has been a culture shock in many ways. And I know that I've probably messed up the Anglican liturgy 1,000 times, and you may have a list of all those things that I've done wrong. But know this, I'm deeply thankful to God for each and every one of you. I'm deeply thankful for the family that we've come into, and thankful for the welcome, for the warmth, for the encouragement, the love that you've shown me and my 5 kids and my wife. We came to something that was very different to what we knew, but in many ways familiar, because we landed in the people of God, and we are thankful for you. We sat here on that first morning, and I do remember leaning over to Kim and asking to myself, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why have you brought us here? What are you doing? What are you doing making us leave our friends? What are you doing making the kids leave the kids' church that they loved? What are you doing? Maybe you've asked that question. What are you doing? God, what are you doing? In the midst of suffering, in the midst of change, in the midst of disappointment, you will have asked yourself, ask God, what are you doing? Maybe you're asking that question this morning. God, what are you doing? Ingrid, as you see the 80 kids no longer here, and you see change, you see your life change, you ask God, what are you doing? Well, our two passages this morning answer that question. They answer the question, God, what are you doing? And the answer to that question is, what is God doing? Well, God is building his church. God is building his church. 1 Peter 2, that Paul read out just a minute ago, says that we are being built into a spiritual house of God. The people of God are being built into a house. God is building a building founded on Jesus, founded on his word, founded on the proclamation of his gospel. God is building a building. Ephesians 2 says that we are being built into a dwelling place for God. So regardless of what is going on in your life, regardless of what you see happening in your church, you can be confident that God is building his church here in Rockingham. God is building his church with you and with me. God is building his church amidst the wild ride that is life. We can be confident of that. If you're a Christian, if you're trusting Jesus, you can be confident that God is building his church, and he is building it out of you and me. He is building it for you and me, and he is building it with you and me, in spite of the opposition that we see in our world. In the face of the suffering that we see, in the face of the suffering that we feel, God is building his church. In the midst of our crazy world, God is building his church. And as we look at the next horizon of 2022, and as we look beyond that to the next 10 years, I want to spend some time unpacking the psalm that Paul read just before our Old Testament Bible reading, Psalm 127, which is a song about God building his church, about God's building project. Because that's what he's doing. He's got a building project using us. He's doing it for us, with us, and in spite of us. And I've got just two things that I want to encourage us as we think about the health and the growth of our church. Two things to encourage us this morning as we hold that future reality in mind. The first is this, that God is building his church, so trust him. God is building his church, so trust him. Our psalm says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the guard keeps watch in vain. There are fewer things more painful and frustrating than doing something in vain. I've just spent the past week trying to make sourdough. Trying to make sourdough. And if you've never made sourdough from scratch, you get flour and you get water and you put it in a jar, and then you take the gunk out every day and you put more flour and you put more water in. And the idea is that it bubbles in it, and then you put it in more flour, and then you make bread. I've been trying that for the last week. I finally made dough yesterday. The only thing that dough was baking was cannonballs. So frustrating. My sourdough making of a week was in vain. Things more frustrating than doing something in vain. Well, maybe you know that experience of working in vain, of working for something that was just taken away, of building something that just got destroyed. There are very few things more painful. Well, this passage tells us that unless God is at work, then we do church in vain. We work in vain. Every bit of effort that we spend serving God at church in his world is in vain. Every dollar that we invest in his mission is in vain. Every prayer that we pray is in vain unless the Lord builds his house, unless the Lord builds his church. Our passage says our work is pointless. It's in vain. Now, there'll be some here of us who will need to hear that unless the Lord builds the house. We'll need to hear that it is the Lord's house and it is the Lord's work. There'll be some here who need to hear the call to trust that he is at work, because we're capable people, because we're hardworking, because we've got lots of church experience and we've seen the silver bullet that brought revival back to the church 20 years ago. And we know that if we do these three things, then the church will grow and the church will be healthy. We're capable people with experience in doing this church thing. But the warning for you, if that's your mindset, the warning for you, and I think this is for me to hear as well. I'm a worker, I'm a strategist, I like thinking things through. The warning here for you and for me is that the best ministry strategy is pointless unless the Lord builds the house. Now let me say, I'm confident and convicted that the Lord is building his church, is building his house here in Rockingham, calling people, building people up, sending people out. Kim and I have never felt so called to a place than the way we felt called to being here in Rockingham. Just tiny little and big miraculous answers to prayer. We've never felt so called to being in one place. And we're confident that the Lord is building his hand. See, on the one hand, it is crazy that we are here. It should just never have happened on so many levels. On the other hand, it is just the Lord building his house. The Lord putting the things in place to build his house, building his church. We've seen extraordinary answers to prayer of material provision, but also people that have loved us and have loved our family, friends that have come into our lives to encourage us, have cared for us and have tended to us, been generous and kind to us. On the one hand, it is miraculous. On the other hand, it is just the Lord building his house. The Lord building his house. And we've seen extraordinary answers to prayer as a church, extraordinary ways in which the Lord has built his house. Eric said that we are praying for new birth in the next season of the life of this church, where people would come to know Jesus for the first time and come to receive the salvation that he offers for the first time. We've seen that this year. We've seen that over the years. You may well have met Murray, who's on sound desk this morning. He's serving today. And Murray came to church just a couple of months ago, was it, Murray? Yeah, about 10 or 12 weeks ago. Murray grew up in Rocco. I've asked him if I can share this, by the way. He grew up in Rocco and never been to church, never read the Bible, came to church to a 5 p.m. service, was given a Bible, and someone told him to start in Matthew and work his way for it. I met Murray a few days later over a coffee, and I said, "How'd you find the Bible?" He goes, "Andy, I haven't been able to put it down. Normally, I get up in the morning and I play PlayStation. Since getting this Bible, all I've done is get up and read this Bible." And he read through Matthew, and he read through Mark, and he was halfway through Luke when we met just a few days later. He was told me that he was fascinated by Jesus, consumed by Jesus and the gospel. Anyway, after Murray coming to church and encountering God's love and hearing God's word, Murray decided to start following Jesus a few weeks ago. Amazing, isn't it, that we have seen that amongst us. Extraordinary miracle of God, but what is God doing? Building his house, building his church. We've seen a number of stories like Murray's, people who have encountered Jesus for the first time, people who have heard about Jesus and said yes to Jesus. See, that stuff doesn't happen if God isn't building his house. So let's trust him that he is building his house. Let's pray to God that he would continue building his house. Let's beg to him that he would build his church among us. Because he is building his house. So let's trust him. God is building his house, so let's trust him. Second thing to encourage us with this morning is God is building his church, so let's back him. God is building his house, God is building his church, so let's back him. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the guard keeps watch in vain. Now, just as some of us will need to be assured that God is building his house and be called to trust him, there will be some here that need to be reminded that for God to build his house, he needs laborers. See, the way that the Lord builds his house is that he partners with us. He uses our efforts. He uses our prayers. He uses our gifts, our passions, our talents, our financial resources to build his house. Now, when you think about that, that is mind-blowing. Because if I was God, I would not choose to do things that way. He is the king of the universe. He is the God who made the world by speaking. He didn't need anyone. He didn't need construction workers and high viz. He created the world by speaking. And yet he chooses to partner with people like you and me to build his house, to be workers, to be laborers. I've loved seeing us do that. I've loved seeing how we serve God here at St. Nick's. The tireless work that our wardens Sue and Dennis do. If you find yourself next to a bar with Sue or Dennis, buy them a drink. They do lots for us. If you find yourselves at the morning tea counter with them, say thank you to them. Say thank you to them and ask them what you can do to help them and encourage them. I've loved seeing how they work and joy that they get. I've loved seeing how we serve here on a Sunday, the many different people that serve, the way that we back the work of the Lord and what he's doing in Rockingham. I love seeing just those random acts of service. One brother amongst us buys our communion wine. He just goes and he buys it and he gives it, he brings it along just to be a blessing, just to build our house. Just gives it to us. It's been incredible to see the financial investment in God's work here. Like to be able to employ a minister, to be able to pay the electric bill, to have guest preachers, to have the environment and the building and the upkeep that we enjoy here. That is just incredible, and we should not take that for granted. So thank you for being laborers to build the Lord's house. I want to encourage you to keep backing the Lord's work, to labor on the construction site, to get your hands dirty, not necessarily to do more stuff. Don't hear me saying Andy wants us to do more stuff, but back the Lord's work by aligning your gifts and the person that God has made you, your rhythms and your life with what the Lord is doing. Align your passions and your skills for the Lord's work. Use your money for the building of God's house, for the building of his church. Use your time that God has given you for the Lord's work. Now, that'll be different for each and every one of us. I've chatted with a number of brothers and sisters who have just said, I just don't have the energy that I once had. I've got the enthusiasm, but I just haven't got the energy. Know that that is okay. There are seasons in your life when you don't have the energy. There are seasons in your life when you don't have the time. There are seasons in your life when you don't have money. But there are seasons when you have all of those things. If you're here and you don't have the energy, you probably have the time that you didn't once have. And I want to encourage you to use that time. Use that time to pray. Don't need energy to pray, to close your hands. Just switch off Netflix and pray to the Lord. Take your thumb away from that scrolly thing and put your hands together and pray to the Lord that he would build his house. If you've got time, use it to pray. If you've got money, use it to give. Use it to invest in the Lord's work. I need some more members on the team to do this over the next 10 years. We'll need cash to do that. If you've got skills to do that, use them for the Lord's construction, for the Lord's construction site. Align your life to the Lord. Back him. And just briefly, the second half of the psalm is all about arrows and kids. I wonder whether you noticed that. It is weird. The two are often quoted in isolation. Let me just read it. Sons are indeed a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. That is the pierce psalm, this one. It is all about kids and about arrows and about enemies at the gates. So my question that I put to our parish council on Thursday, what on earth has arrows and kids got to do with the Lord building his house? It's like two songs just been ramshacked together. Why is Why does the psalm end like it does? Well, I got the parish council to help me, and they said, it's all about the future, Andy. It's all about the future. It's all about raising the next generation in the Lord's house. That's why it's here in this psalm. God is building his house and he is raising the next generation. In the Old Testament, people came into the people of God through birth. You were born of an Israelite and became an Israelite. Well, in the New Testament times, God does not have grandchildren. People come into the kingdom through the proclamation of the gospel, through hearing about Jesus, believing in Jesus, and being grafted into Jesus. And so, St. Nick's, that is the work that we have been tasked to do by God, to raise up the next generation. The Lord is building his house and he will raise up the next generation as we cry out to him. The Lord has given us the task of raising up the next generation to build his kingdom. And he's given us labor to do. He's given us jobs to do. He prepared our good works before us, ahead of time, we learn in Ephesians. So if you're in Christ here today, there is not one person who is not needed here. Know that. There are no passengers here. There is not one person here who is not valued, is not loved, who is not needed for this work of the Lord. There is not one person who does not have something to contribute. God has given us gifts to build his house. So let's build his house. Let's trust him. Let's back him. Let's trust him that he's building his house, and let's back him with our actions. I gave us 3 C's to close at the end of my little presentation. 3 C's. Remember, commit, contribute, cry out. I want to sharpen those from this psalm. Yes, we should commit, but let's commit these plans to the Lord. Let's commit these plans to the Lord and let's commit yourself to the Lord. Say, I'm here for you, Lord. Yes, let's contribute, but let's contribute our prayers. But also contribute our time, our talent, our treasure, so that the Lord builds his church. Let's cry out that God would bring new fruit, that would bring health and bring growth. And as he does that, my prayer is that we would know the best season of our lives. God calls us into partnership, not so that he can achieve a task, but so that he can bless us, so that we will know new depths of joy in Jesus. You may be thinking, I've got no energy, I'm tired, I've done my Christian service. My prayer is that we would know the best season of our lives now, as we serve him, as we see God at work. I'd love Inga's eyes as she lit up when she talked about those days when they just saw growth and how she was excited about what she's seeing amongst us. I want this to be our best season yet. So let's pray together and let's be confident that God is at work. Our Father, we do praise you for your work amongst us. We praise you that you are building your house. So we pray that we would trust you to do it. And we pray, Lord, that we would back you as you do it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.